Proverbs in just a moment, and we're reading through, we're walking through slowly through the Psalms. Psalm 5:12, "For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield." Just what Daniel's talking about. The Holy Spirit's presence with us here tonight, and it's good to see all of you, and I hope whatever kind of day you've had, we'll be able to end it together in a encouraging kind of way together. I want to thank Ryan for always so capably taking over for me, and he did a great job. Wouldn't you say thank you to Ryan? He's in here tonight. Ryan did a good job. He always does. A good Bible teacher. All right, so tonight, if this is this is going to be a little bit different way of what than what you're used to be doing with Proverbs. Tonight we're going to I've been trying to think about the best illustration to describe how I want to go about this tonight. But what I want to do tonight is combine some of the things we've been talking about in the disciplines of how to take the Word of God and live and experience it and eat the Bible. Okay? So to prepare, you know, before you can eat your meal, our dear people, Sonia and all the rest of the team, prepared the food tonight. So what we're going to do tonight, this is going to be like a spiritual cooking show. How's that? So if you were watching a cooking show, they take all the ingredients, they have all their pots out, they have all their pans out, they have all their various kinds. Doc, I know you think I'm, don't, just stay with me. My illustration will work here in a minute. Doc's looking at me like, what in the world are you talking about? You know, they have the carrots over here, and then they've got their, June, they got their butter over here in a big thing, and put that butter in. Depends on, you know, if you're doing whatever, Southern cooking, Mediterranean, whatever kind of cooking it is. You got all the parts on the table. So tonight, what I want to do at the beginning is I'm going to introduce a new section of the Proverbs we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, because I want us to learn some very important things. So this is a spiritual cooking show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to describe how I have done my lesson tonight. And that's why on the back page you have this hieroglyphics page. That's my handwriting. And we'll get to it in a minute. Don't go there yet. That's why it's there. You're probably wondering, did they make a mistake? Did Barbara get sick and did something happen? And she accidentally didn't get something typed? No, this is here on purpose. So I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you, illustrate for you how I came to my conclusions tonight on one of the spiritual comparisons that we're going to look at, okay? So this is, we're practicing tonight. Look, if you come to church and you hear me, see, here's what happens. If you go to your Bible study class or you come to preaching, hopefully the preacher or the teacher has prepared, just like you do a meal. They've gone and they've done their study, they've done their work, and it shows up in what they present. What I'm trying to do is not eat, you know, not feed you, even though that's important, but teach you how to eat for yourself. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in the church, doesn't matter how many years you've been a Christian. We're tonight going to try, and this is going to be very hard to do. I'm going to try my best to do this. I've been really thinking about it while I've been away. I needed to come back and do this pause and help you illustrate how reading the Bible, studying the Bible, memorizing and meditating on the Bible converge. And the book of Proverbs is the best of all books to learn how to allow these things to converge. So I'm going to teach you my method. It's only mine. You can do whatever you want. I'm just showing you, all you cooks in here, June cooks, and June's a great cook, and I can start naming other cooks in here. Well, June's got her own way of putting the butter in it and the salt, and Pat has her own way. You know, every cook's got their own way. So I'm just going to share with you what I do, because here's my desire. You know, as your pastor, I want us to be a people who follow Jesus. If we're going to follow Jesus, we must learn to do what Jesus did. Jesus understood how to hear, read, study, memorize, and meditate on the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That is what Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy to the evil one. All right? So with all of that commercial said, I want you to find Proverbs 25. And let me make some general comments here about this. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some spiritual comparisons. Now, the other word, the literary word, is the word similitudes, but we don't use similitude much in our language, all right? So similitude means comparison, something that is a comparison. You compare one thing to another. It's a similitude. There are spiritual similitudes, and just those of you who know from your school and in English, there's poetic similitudes. And so in the world of poetry, remember, we're looking at poetry. We forget sometimes that the book of Proverbs is sacred poetry, just like the book of Psalms. Very important for you to remember that. So we're learning God's poetry here. God's poetry. And listen, I will just say this one little thing about poetry in English. You know, most of us didn't spend a lot of time in poetry. We wanted to hurry up and get out of it. But, you know, the poet has a unique way of taking truth and compressing it down with fewer words. That's the power of poetry. It takes tremendous thoughts and concepts and crushes them down. What we have in the Word of God, and that's why some of us are frustrated with Proverbs. Well, I can't get into a flow of it. You know, it doesn't read like Paul. No, it's not supposed to read like Paul. It doesn't read like 1 Kings. It's not supposed to read like 1 Kings. It is written as sacred poetry compressed into simple but powerful, profound thoughts. And almost every verse is worth a day or a week of meditation. Are you with me? That's what you have here. You can spend your life, live and know Jesus and die, and not finish all of the divine wisdom that's found in the book of Proverbs. So, why, you know, somebody said, is Pastor Mike still in the book of Proverbs? Yes, because we have much to learn. We have much to learn. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to take you to a section from chapter 25. We'll especially be looking in 25 and 26. Even though this section extends from chapter 25 through 29. Through 29. And I want to do this because I want us to learn to come together on a Wednesday night and think about a spiritual similitude. Now, later tonight, we're going to think about this similitude, the danger of being a meddler. Okay? We'll get to that in a minute. Let me do all my introduction. You know, God speaks to the world in Proverbs, riddles, and parables. When Jesus came, why didn't Jesus just stand up in front of the whole crowd and tell the whole crowd everything that he was telling the disciples privately? You got to hear me now. Why, Pastor Mike, why in the world do we have this book of Proverbs? It's just one thing to another, to this, to that, to one, to other. Why? God speaks in the world in riddles, parables, and proverbs. Let's go back. Now you have your finger in 25. Go to the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, and let me do some introduction here because this is all very important. I've really tried to measure my words, but I want you to hear all of these words. They're very important. So what do we read beginning in Proverbs chapter 1? The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And then we have from verse 2 to verse 6, the objective. Why do we come to this book? Why is this blessed book so important? To know wisdom and instruction. The Proverbs give us knowledge to discern the sayings of understanding. So in these words are sayings of understanding, ancient words of understanding. Because knowledge is not enough. We have to have understanding. Oh, that's the way it works. See that? You know the knowledge, but then from knowledge comes understanding and discernment. To receive instruction in wise behavior. And we talked about this last year, that the three foundational areas of the book of Proverbs around which it's built is to receive instruction in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the naive. That's a very important element of the Proverbs. They give. So here are all the values of the book of Proverbs. To the youth, knowledge and discretion. And many of the rabbis believed and taught that the early chapters 1 to around 12 or 13, were actually Proverbs that were built as a manual for the youth, for the young. And when you read it carefully, you see there are many tips and advice and counsel for the young. 5, a wise man. I'm looking around. A wise man or woman. There are people in here of wisdom. The Proverbs aren't just for the simple. Listen, the Proverbs are for those who are already wise, so that you might be made wiser. A wise man will hear the proverb and increase in learning. A man of understanding or a woman of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Oh, there's something here for all the wise ones in the room. And I'm not talking about wise guys. I'm talking about truly that you have wisdom, you've grown, you've matured in your spiritual life. But here's the phrase I want you to see. It's often overlooked. Preachers run out of gas by the time they get to verse 6. But this is the one I want to focus on. Why the Proverbs? Here it is. To understand a proverb, a figure, the words of the wise, and their riddles. God speaks to the world in proverbs, riddles, and parables. You remember what Jesus said when they asked him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he quoted from Isaiah, because seeing they will not see, and hearing they will not hear. When you hear the words of God in a riddle or proverb, only those who genuinely are seeking will explore the meaning. The others, they dismiss it. It doesn't matter. So on your first slide there, Pat, if you'll go to that first slide, please. Proverbs and our thinking. All right. There we go. Proverbs and our thinking. The Proverbs of Solomon. There are four things I want you to understand here that are very important. When we meditate on the Proverbs, and here's what I needed to say. When you meditate on a proverb, on a saying, a riddle, or as we see in verse 6 in chapter 1, a proverb, a figure, or a riddle. When you meditate on it, remember that means deep thinking. When you think about this, you gain clear thinking. Here's what happens. In our American culture, the greatest battle that I have as your pastor presenting biblical truth is to get you to stop and to think and meditate. That's why we gave you the devotional book to read with us. I hope you're all remember, I'm the naive pastor. I believe everybody in this room and the whole church is doing the 40 days in the Psalms. I believe that. Don't tell me any different. I'm happy in that. I believe it. And I love being in that world. So don't ruin my day. But we're walking slowly through the Psalms. I'm trying to get us. Listen, folks, you got to slow down. You got to listen to what the Lord has to say to you. But I hate to tell you this. He doesn't work on the same time schedule as you and me. He just doesn't do it. And so we must learn to. If you want to clear up your thinking, you must pause long enough to meditate. How am I going to do it, Pastor Mike? I got a crazy schedule. You're going to have to work that out. I have to work it out in my life. You have to work it out in yours. But when you don't do it, you got cluttered, confused, chaotic thinking. And the greatest challenge, the thing I hear the most as a pastor is, I don't have any time to think. I can't figure this out. I can't think of you. we take the Word of God and use it to think. And the book of Proverbs teaches us what it means to have heaven on earth. Did you know that? It is heaven on earth. It's how do you bring the wisdom of heaven to earth. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. And I've spent my life studying it a long time ago. When I was a young man, someone introduced me to these things, and I will always be grateful to his experience and teaching in my life. It has been a life-changing experience. That's why I come to you as your pastor, and I want you to have it too. When we meditate on the Proverbs, number two, we gain spiritual understanding. These are not just happy sayings from some ancient king that was a Jew. These are the very spiritual truths and wisdom of God inspired under inspiration given to us in the 21st century. With all of our education, with all of our knowledge, we must have spiritual understanding. You should, if you take notes, write down Colossians 1:9. I think about this verse all the time. It's Paul's prayer for the Colossian church. You know, Paul never met the Colossians. But you know what his first prayer was? His prayer was Colossians 1:9, that you may be filled with the knowledge, listen, of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I pray that all the time. Lord, I need you to fill me as best I can be. You know, there's big cups and there's little cups and there's medium cups. However much can be, I can be filled up, fill me up with spiritual wisdom and understanding. And the book of Proverbs takes us to a place where we learn spiritual understanding. And there's not a person in this room tonight, I don't care what your age, I don't care how many years you've walked with Jesus, who does not need today spiritual wisdom and understanding, because you're older today than you've ever been. Well, y'all are used to that now, huh? Okay. No response. That's good. Well, you are. You're older today than you've ever been. And you need the wisdom of God. When we meditate on the Proverbs, we gain understanding about life's riddles. Oh, life's riddles. I could spend the rest of tonight talking about life's riddles. I could be the preacher and get up here and get on my soapbox and talk about life's riddles. Every one of your lives are filled with riddles. And you don't understand why. Nor do I. But the Word of God. When we come to these blessed words in the book of Proverbs, we have a place to go. We have a place to go and ask God for His divine wisdom, for life's riddles, but you have to read it. You have to understand how to take it apart, and you can do it. You can do this because you have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. When we meditate on the Proverbs, I'm talking about one at a time. Some of you want to chew the whole bale of hay. It doesn't work that way. You can't chew the whole bale. Proverbs will not let you do it. You try and try to read like 10 verses and then you get nothing from it. Just take one. That's why tonight I'm going to illustrate with one verse how you do this. When we meditate on the Proverbs, we gain understanding about wise and foolish living. All right, let's go to the next slide. The next one on your page. So, when you go to Proverbs 25, you'll notice what the Bible says. It's an introduction. So I've given you now, within the Proverbs, you have sections that have been designed as the editors put together under inspiration the book of Proverbs and the sayings of Solomon and some others. They put together these sections. And here we read this amazing statement, Proverbs 25:1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, transcribed. So we must remember that the Bible tells us that Solomon gave over 3,000 proverbs, proverbial statements, and over 1,000 songs. And the greatest of his songs is the Song of Songs. And sometime before I'm done being the pastor of this church, hopefully we will go to that wonderful book, which is far more than a manual on two people getting married. I promise you, it's far more than that. It is the Song of Songs. So you have Psalms, you have Proverbs, you have Ecclesiastes, and you have the Song of Songs, and you have Solomon, who is the primary author of the Proverbs would help, helping us with life here on earth. Ecclesiastes and his teachings, we did them here on Sunday morning, chasing the wind. Because until you learn that all of life is vanity, you will never fear God and turn to God. And then you come to the Song of Songs. Well, that's for another time. But in 2 Kings 18:3, we won't go there, but the Bible tells us that Hezekiah became king at 25 years of age. He reigned for 29 years. And the Bible says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So here's a leader who followed Moses and the Torah and the Word of God. And you know what else he did? The king sitting on his throne required his transcribers to take and place these sayings, Proverbs of Solomon, together. And I can only in my imagination see the king on his throne thinking every day on one of these proverbial sayings. It's the same for you and me. The second point on that slide is this, and this is what we're talking about. The book of Proverbs contains similitudes in this section. And if your Bible's like mine, you'll have titles at the top. In the New American Standard, the titles are Similitudes and Instructions in chapter 25, Similitudes and Instructions in chapter 26, Warnings and Instructions in chapter 28, and Warnings and Instructions in chapter 29. You must look at the structure of how your Holy Bible is put together in the text. The titles at the top are not inspired, but they are added to give direction, and they do give some help. So later, as the New American Standard editors put this English Bible together, they felt that what was comprised in chapters 25 and 26 were primarily similitudes and instruction. So these comparisons that we're going to look at are, listen, earthly things that teach a life lesson of wisdom. So it's an earthly thing that teaches a life lesson. What did Jesus do in the parables? He told earthly stories about spiritual realities, did he not? But here, this is compressed down from a story. This is poetic. Proverbs 25 and 26 contain 21 similitudes that use the term like, L-I-K-E. There are more similitudes, but over the next few weeks, I'm going to select some of those from the 21, and I want us to look at them. And I'll select them as your pastor. As I pray through them and I'm thinking about them, there are certain things I want to speak to our church about that I think are application and appropriate for us. That's why we gather here. So what I've done here is this is where the cooking show starts. So this is the cooking show. So I now come to the next slide. And all of a sudden you see that I've done some work here. I've done some work in organizing 25 and 26. This is going to be kind of your roadmap. We'll look at it over the next few weeks. There are some life lessons of wisdom that come from these words. So I'm not going to look at all of them. I'm going to give you some illustrations, but I want you to see how I've organized them. Here's the Western minds that are going to come out. You're going to say, well, how come, you know, you went from 25, you know, and then you jump down to here, and then you jump back. Well, because I've organized them into some sections so I can get my mind around them. Okay? Remember, some of us are still trying to read Proverbs like 26:1 goes with 26:2 goes with. No, this is a collection of sayings. Sometimes you may have a couple of verses that go together, but most times they do not. And if you try to read it that way, you will finally close your Bible and say, I think I'll just read the Psalms. No, you got to read the Proverbs. Pastor Mike, dear old Pastor Mike, I hope you hear my words. You need the Proverbs. You need the Proverbs. I need the Proverbs to help me with spiritual understanding. So, by the way, another little note about your Bible. And I just say this to you because I love you in Jesus. I'm not complaining. I'm not fussing. But I really, really encourage you to have a Bible that simply has the text of the Bible and margins, cross-references from the margins. Don't get one of those cheater Bibles that's written by Dr. So-and-so or Dr. Seuss or whoever you want and has all their notes in it. Get a Bible, a plain old Bible that you pick up and read. Don't, because if you do that, you're reading somebody else's notes. By the way, the line that's drawn between the Bible text and then I've seen some Bibles that there's like three words of Scripture and the whole rest of the page is Dr. Seuss's notes or whoever. No. I want you to learn as your pastor to compare Scripture to Scripture, to understand how to read your margins, read your margin that connects to the verse, and understand how to let the Word of God speak for itself. Are you hearing me tonight? Everybody okay? I'm not fussing. I think study Bibles have their place. But study Bibles are cheater Bibles. That's like going and getting food that's already been prepared for you and you just go, you know, microwave it up. If I'm going to use my cooking illustration. No, we're going to go down and we're going to learn to cook tonight our own stuff. Okay? So I'm saying this. You say, Pastor Mike, you're just going on. I'm going on and on because I'm saying to you, if I leave this place and I'm gone one of these days and you know, you roll me out of here like an old bicycle or put me in the ground or whatever, however it ends or whatever it is the Lord does, and you haven't learned how to come to your Bible, no matter what your age, and take the text and look at the margin and read the margin in the inside and understand it. The gift of your English Bible translations is these translators have done a wonderful job of equipping you to compare Scripture to Scripture, and that's the way we study the Word of God. Commentaries are great. Comments from other preachers and commentators are important, but too often we run to those who've already done the work, kind of like having, you know, make your own, cook your own food spiritually. Don't go heat up something somebody else has already done, all right? So notice the words of the wise. Let's just take some samples here. Notice this in the word. Ryan did 2 weeks on words. If you were here, he did 2 weeks on words, and he took you through some careful studies. In fact, he used some of Proverbs 25. But notice just a few of these. Proverbs 25:11. Notice how the words read. Like, here's the comparison. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. I've been to antique stores and seen those in frames. It's a beautiful saying, but it's more than just a saying that goes on in an antique store in a frame. It has a very important spiritual principle for all of us. Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Then you can see verse 12. Again, here's one where they go together, like an earring. By the way, so I was going to mention, in your Bible, in the New American Standard, in verse 11, verse 12, the word like is in italics. Okay, here's a little trick. You can't read the Hebrew Bible, but this is a way you can learn. That word is not in the Hebrew Bible, so it reads literally in verse 11, apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstance. But the translators have added the italics, the word in italics, to help us as English readers to understand it. Does that help? So when you see a word in italics, it means that it's either not in the Hebrew Bible or it's not in the Greek Bible if it's in the New Testament. But sometimes you'll see in the reading the word like appears. So verse 12, like an earring of gold. Oh, men, do we know about earrings of gold? Yes, we do. And an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. So you can see the idea. Those are wise, the wise use of words. Then you have the foolish use of words. Like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gift falsely. The foolish trust in faithless people. Here's a good one for you. 25:19. This is for those of you who sometimes trust people that you think they're going to help you. Like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in a time of trouble. Oh, there's a bunch in that. Man, let me go sit down and think about that. Then there's the lack of self-control. You see there's the wise character withstands curses. Fools are foolish. And then tonight we're going to be looking at meddling and the deceitfulness. Deceitfulness is foolishness, and contentious people are foolish. So I'll show you this section. I guess if I mention it to you, you know, you may not want to come back if I tell you what I'm going to be talking about in the next few weeks. But we're going to be looking at the next few weeks at tonight the meddler. Next week we'll be looking at the deceiver. And the next week we'll be looking at the whisperer. The whisperer. Have you ever been around a whisperer? The book of Proverbs says a lot about whisperers. So this is the ancient wisdom of God. This is to give us wisdom to know. There are over 110 caricatures in the book of Proverbs. Now, what's a caricature? Well, you see them here. The sluggard, the whisperer, the meddler. They're caricatures. The fool and the wise. You have all of these different caricatures. So what does the book of Proverbs do? It takes a caricature and uses the caricature or an earthly illustration. It makes up a figure, a person, a character, and says, this is foolish ways, this is wisdom's ways. That's the way the book of Proverbs is put together. When you understand those things, it opens the doors of the book. Oh, but there's much more than just the saying. It takes time to cook food, doesn't it? You know why most people don't cook anymore? It takes too much time. They're too busy. I mean, just go down there and get some frozen food. Or go to, for heaven's sakes, just drive through the drive-thru. They've already done all the work for you. I wonder sometimes if people come to church like it's the drive-thru. Man, I better not start talking about that. That could be really bad. Just give me something. I don't want to do it for myself. Just give me something. And then when you sit with them at their bedside when they're dying, you know what? There's nothing for them there. They've never learned to eat God's word. They've never learned to trust God. All of this going to church has been just social or whatever it's been, but there's nothing there to help them in the time of death and in the time of life. Look, I'm your pastor. I'm just trying to be as honest with you as I can, because we're older than we've ever been, and one more day of my life has now been done in this world until I get to go be with Jesus. And then there's no end to days. Then it changes. So there is an urgency in me about these things. So let's talk about meditating on a comparative proverb. Jesus said in Luke 8:18, I didn't put it in your notes. Go to that next slide, Pat. These are the four questions that I ask when I'm preparing my notes. So you need to take this sheet, this scribble, take the scribble page now off and set it beside you. And I want you to see some illustrations of how I did this. And then on the page that's coming up on understanding a proverb, that's where I'll show you. Here's the way I cooked it up, okay? Here's all the parts I cooked up, my carrots and my beans and all. And then I put it together, and then I came up with my conclusions, okay? You all following me? I wanted you to see me do it one time. I can't sit in here and do the study in front of you, this is the best way I can take it from what I did and give it to you and show you the parts. And hopefully, if I'm showing you this, you do it to whatever level you want, but it'll give you an idea. Now, meditating on comparative proverbs. Number one, always ask yourself, what is the earthly illustration from the proverb? This is the investigative stage. This is what you got to do. First you say, what is the earthly illustration? What from the earth is God taking and using here? Second, ask yourself, what are the life lessons of wisdom from this proverb? Third, and there's generally usually multiple. third, ask yourself, what other Bible passages teach the same life lesson? That's why you need your Bible with your margins, because it will generally give you, you'll read your Bible, and notice if you have, your Bible has A and B by certain words, well, that's where you've got to read your margin. Go to like the verse, and then you go out and find that verse in the margin, and then it says A, there are some other verses you write down and look up. Cross-referencing. Look, some of you in here are looking at me like, well, everybody knows that. Not everybody knows what I just said. Don't ever assume everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about when I talk about cross-referencing your margins of your Bible. If you know how, somebody blessed you by teaching you something very special. Don't ever forget it. Thank your teachers who taught you. There are most of our people in our church, the hundreds and hundreds of people who come here, have no idea what I'm talking about. That's what we're trying to do in disciple life. That's what we try to do in these classes, to help our people learn how to eat God's word and take it apart. It's survival. Ask fourthly, how does this apply to me? Not, boy, I got some things I need to tell Pat now that I've read this. No. What do I got to say to myself? And I don't want to go do my meditation time, go down and fuss at my wife about the four things she ought to be doing. No, I need to have a little talk with Jesus and myself. Okay, so let's go down to the foolishness of meddling. Tonight, let's go to our passage for the evening. Like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. I'm speaking to us now who are a part of First Baptist Church. So notice what you have here. First, the earthly illustration. Passing by and taking a dog by the ears. I just want you to think about what that would be like. Just settle now for a moment. This is, we're practicing. It's 7:16. I got about 14 minutes to give you this now. Now we're down to how we cook this up. All right? So I'm going to sit tonight with you for a few minutes in that church. I want to talk to you tonight about taking a dog by the ears. What happens if you take a dog by the ears? Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. Then notice the life lesson, at least one. I mean, you could illustrate this. I've just given you one to illustrate how you do it here on the slide. The life lesson of the wisdom, a person who passes by and meddles with strife or in a disagreement two people are having, someone else is having with someone, but it's not a disagreement between those two people, not belonging to him, is like taking a dog by the ears. Some dogs, it's hard to take them by the ears because they have short ears. Some dogs, it's easy to take them by the ears because they have long ears. But whether they have short or long ears, taking a dog by the ears can be a very, very bad thing to do. I like what one old preacher said. If we take a dog by the ear, we will regret it. Would you agree? So we have this caricature. Now we have this. Now it's in our heads. Sometimes what you'll discover, this is the beauty of the inspired Word of God. You will now have this in your head. By the time I finish talking to you about taking a dog by the ears, you will have heard me say it so many times, you'll say, move on. No, but that's what you want it to do. You want it to settle in your mind, because the earthly illustration helps open for you the words of wisdom that help us learn how to live a life of wisdom. All right, now we take the notes. So I came to some conclusions on the next slide. Understanding the proverb. So I have five conclusions about meddling, but let's go first to my sheet. Let me show you what I did. All right, number one, at the top of the page, if you'll notice, I wrote and circled out to the side the illustration or the earthly saying. one who takes a dog by the ear. Then notice my little points underneath that. These were just, I'm illustrating how I was sitting and meditating on. So, Pastor Mike, what did you do as you were preparing this? I went and had prayer time and thought about what it means to take a dog by the ears. I said I was having prayer time and I was thinking about taking a dog by the ears. Is that spiritual? It's really spiritual. This is meditation. So look what I did. Number one, I know this seems silly, but you don't laugh. Okay, you can. I'm cooking this meal, so you can cook it your own way. I'm just showing you my ingredients, all right? So before I get into this, some of you are going to come up and go, well, I had four other things you don't even have. I'm not doing this to try to, I'm just illustrating what I did. Number one, a dog will yelp in pain if you grab him by the ears. A dog tries to escape if you take him by the ears. A dog bites and scratches if you take him by the ears. A dog kicks if you take him by the ears. Dogs are not made to be held by the ears. You cannot hold on to a dog for long by the ears. Okay, so you see where I was going? And I could have gone on and on and on. Because the Holy Scriptures tell me, like one who takes the dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. One of the ancient rabbis reads it like this. As one is passing by, he sees a dog passing by and takes it by the ears. He's passing by and the dog's passing by and the dog gets taken by the ears. Think about it. Then I went to the next section. So underneath that, you'll notice that the dog is surprised. Then you'll notice that if you go down in my scribble there, over to the side, I have an equal sign and I circled the word understanding. What I mean by that is, so what is the spiritual meaning of this? Well, when you read now in Proverbs 26:17, he who passes by and meddles, it's careful to, you have to read this carefully. And so the idea of passing by here, the Hebrew word, and I have an advantage so I can know, I know the language a little bit. The Hebrew word means to cross over. So the idea is you're passing by, but you cross over a line or a boundary. You cross over. It's a very picturesque way of describing starting to interfere. Some of your Bibles will read this. So if you have a New American Standard, your note says beside the word meddle, M-E-D-D-L-E-S, it says in your Bible that it's literally it reads in the Hebrew to infuriate yourself. Now I want you to think about this. Like someone passing by and seeing someone else having a fight with somebody else, you enter into the fight and you get mad because they're having a fight. But it's not your fight. So here's the thing. One passing by is a stranger. One passing by, see, I'm just working on the phrase passing by now. I'm passing by. This is not my business. One passing by has his own plans. One passing by is an outsider. One passing by is not the resident. You see the idea. Then you go to the next thing. He angers himself. This one passing by and someone else, he enters into the fight of another. He angers himself. That means he's interfering with the fight. He's taking up anger without a cause. He's interfering in someone else's business. And then the lesson of this. Now we come back to your slide, which is a little easier to read. So then I came to my conclusion. All I'm showing you from this chicken scratch is, this is the process of making your observation. Sit down, take a proverb, read the saying, a dog by the ears, read the spiritual wisdom statement that's added to it, and then draw some conclusions. So here's what I made for my own self. When I meddle in another's fight, it's like picking up my neighbor by the ears. You want to really get somebody mad? Try to go step in between two other people who are already having a fight. It's like picking your neighbor up by the ears. By the way, it's really hard to pick a human being up by the ears. But if you do, if you meddle in other people's affairs, you're going to get some real regret from it. When I meddle in another's fight, it causes me to have misplaced emotions. That's the idea. I infuriate myself. All of a sudden, I've got a bunch of emotions that aren't even my business, and I'm all worked up, and I'm all, and it has nothing to do with me. But I'm all worked up about it. That's why I say to this church all the time, you got to limit how much you listen to the television. We got some dear people in our church that are so upset about the United States. America, listen, may I read it again? Like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. Some things aren't your battle. Some things aren't my battle. Well, we're supposed to care about everybody. Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to compare Scripture to Scripture. Let's get the illustration going first. See, look, you may be upset with me. I'm just giving you my personal meditations for old Pastor Mike. I mean, if they apply to you, great. I'm just trying to preach a little bit here. When I meddle in another's fight, I am not minding my own business. When I meddle in another's fight, I am imposing on another's life. I'm imposing. See, this is that Hebrew phrase, cross over. It is hard to read it. He who passes by. The idea is you're passing by, and then you just let me get over here and get in your business a little bit here. When I meddle in another's fight, I don't know both sides of the story. I'm just passing by. Happens in church all the time. Old Pastor Mike's been at this a long time. The saddest thing in the world is to see those who are trying to take the dog by the ears. You're going to regret it. You're going to live with the pain of it. Sometimes it's scars for life. You know, I grew up in a family where they, dog lovers. It's kind of like in our family, we had 5 kids and about 10 dogs. It's like, the more the merrier. And sometimes a dog will put marks on you that are permanent. If you do things to a dog you shouldn't do. I have a sister who's got permanent bites right there. She deserved it, by the way. She deserved what she got. I mean, they're still there to this day. She's a full-grown woman. But those marks are there. Be careful when you pass by and take the dog by the ears when you try to take up strife for somebody else. So what do we learn tonight as we close? Let's go to the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. I have 3 minutes. Let me read just a couple of these, and then you can take them home and you can meditate on them on your own. But I learned a lot from just one. We just did one proverb. And we didn't even get to the bottom of it. There's all kinds of ways you can take the verse and turn it and turn the words and turn the phrases and look at them and compare them. Folks, this is what it means to study, to memorize, to meditate and read and hear the Bible. This is what I'm trying to teach us all to do. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Paul says, make it your ambition. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. And attend to your own business. And to work with your hands, just as we commanded you. 1 Peter 4:15 is a very good verse. You can suffer for being a meddler. Did you know that? The Bible tells us not to suffer as a Christian. We can suffer as a Christian, but we can also suffer as a gossip. We can also suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer. You suffer when you live a certain lifestyle. And Peter says, 1 Peter 4:15, make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, and notice his phrase, a troublesome meddler. A troublesome meddler. And my marginal reading in verse number 15 is one who oversees others' affairs. As if I'm responsible for you. and you for me. Jesus said in Matthew 7, you remember that's the famous section on judge not lest you be judged? You all remember that? But remember, then Jesus goes down and he says, you know, he reminds us of this thing of meddling. Judging others includes elements of meddling. Let me just read it to you. You know it. Listen, Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged. In the way you judge, you will be judged by your standard of measure. Listen, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye? You're passing by. Oh, by the way, Pat, let me get that speck out of your eye. I'm just passing by, but I noticed the speck there. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye and you don't notice the log in your own eye? Meddling. I see a speck in your eye. I see a speck in your eye. Jesus was going along, you know, and he was doing his ministry. In Luke chapter 12, this is one of those great, great passages that sometimes is misunderstood about Jesus. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Now, can you imagine all the things that were screamed at Jesus when he was on the earth? Yeah, Jesus, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance. Jesus is giving the words of life, and this guy's worrying about the family inheritance. That sounds like church. And what did Jesus say? Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you? It's not my business. It's not my business. Jesus said it. So tonight, I conclude where I began with this wonderful, blessed truth from the Word of God. May God give us all wisdom to hear it and understand it. Like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. Proverbs 3:30, do not contend with a man without a cause. So may the Lord give us wisdom tonight. I love you in Jesus. Now you've been to spiritual cooking school, and you know how to do it for yourself. So may you take these proverbs on your own. You know, just pray about it. Just open up. I know you're doing, somebody said that you're wearing us out on all this Bible reading. That's good. That means you're eating the right things. You're eating your spiritual fruits and vegetables. You'll be strong. You'll gain spiritual understanding. That's better than some of the other things you could spend your time doing. I promise you. We're going to study the Bible forever. I believe that with all my heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, a lamp to our feet, a light to our